Unfamiliar with the backwoods and being a man, he didn't stop for directions. Upon arriving an hour late, he saw the funeral was over and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only the diggers and the crew left, and they were eating lunch. This man just felt terrible, and apologizing to the men for being late, he went to the side of the grave and saw that the vault lid was already in place. He didn't know what else to do, so he started to play. The workers put down their lunches and gathered around. He played his heart out for this man with no family and friends, and he played like he's never played before. As he played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept, the bagpiper wept, they all wept together. When he finished, he packed up his bagpipes and started for the car. Though his head was hung low, his heart was full, and as he opened his car door to leave, he heard one of the workers say, "I've never seen anything like that before, and I've been putting in septic tanks for years." Sometimes we just need a good laugh. I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, okay, so you're welcome. Here, ha ha ha, we all feel better. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. I'm going to pray and then we'll get started, but I'm excited to share this with you tonight. Father, I just ask that you speak through me, as Creflo Dollar says, "Not my words, your words, Lord. Not my voice, your voice, Jesus. I am your vessel. Come and speak to and refresh the hearts of every person here, and may they go back to their homes and loved ones and refresh those around them, their neighbors and all those who need a touch from Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen." Strangely enough, you know, y'all all know, you all know this is not my normal place. Usually it's up here. But I'm excited because I feel like this message has been just sitting in me for years. I know that's a really strange thing to say, but I have felt the pieces of this message stirring in my heart for years, and I didn't really know what to do with them. I say this not in a point of, oh, I was idle and I did nothing with what the Lord handed me. I just genuinely felt like this is going to be used somehow, but I genuinely didn't know how to move forward with this. And then I was asked to share for the Kingdom Culture series. Pastor Terry was like, "What do you want to share on?" And I said, I want to share on excellence and stewardship. I was a court reporter for 10 years, and so I love anything to do with, you know, proper English and grammar and all that. So I brought the definition of from Merriam-Webster, not ChatGPT, of excellence and stewardship. You're welcome. But we'll get into that later. But the point of my message and kind of my intro, what I want to get into is, all of us have been handed from the Lord. We've all been handed gifts and talents. And not only does he want us to use them, but he wants us to develop them so that that gift can increase and we can become more skillful with what he's placed in our hands. For my just opening up this message, I want the heart of what I'm teaching you tonight and then what we'll get into next week, which the focus next week will be more on stewardship. Whereas tonight it's more about excellence with your gifts. We'll get more into that next week, but this is the heart of the why for both of these. So I'd like you to turn to John 12, and I have it in the English Standard Version, but I also have it in the Passion Translation, and I want to read it in the Passion, a special reason tonight, because I think sometimes it's easy whether I'm looking at all the faces in here. I think we all know Jesus. If you don't, come see me afterwards if you want to know him. But for all of us in here that know Jesus, sometimes we can think, oh, why? I feel like I'm already doing enough, or I'm already tired, you know. But there is a reason why we want to develop the gifts God's handed us and to recognize what those things are. So in John 12, we have Mary. They're putting on a dinner for Lazarus, you know, who rose from the dead just a few chapters earlier. It says in John 12, verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared a supper for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair, and the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. Now, I'm sure if you're like me, you've heard lots of teachings about this. I'm not a Bible scholar or an expert on this chapter or the study of this story. But one thing that I want to bring out in this is the fragrance of what she poured out at his feet. She gave something that I've heard people say, I've heard teachers talk about. It was that perfume that she poured out cost about the equivalent of a year's wages for somebody. So extremely valuable. And she came and gave it all and then gave of herself by wiping his feet with her hair, right? And my point is this, the why of why we want to recognize the gifts and talents God's handed us and why we want to develop them further for use for the kingdom and why we want to, as I'll talk about next week, steward what he's given us and placed in our hands is because the fragrance of what we choose to do with our life, it lingers. It lingers. And I want you to leave here with that word in your mind. The reason I read this in the Passion Translation with verse 3, where it says, "And the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house." I have a footnote here, and it said, "This fragrance, usually associated with a king, was upon Jesus' feet as he stood before his accusers and as the soldiers." And excuse me if I get emotional. This is extremely profound. It would have been on his feet as he stood before his accusers and as the soldiers pierced his feet with the nail. It is possible they would all have smelled the fragrance of it. Can you imagine? She pours it out in this house on Jesus. It gets the attention of the whole house. It's offensive. And everyone's like, "Whoa, why are you doing this?" But she saw him. She saw Jesus. She saw who he was. She knew who he was, and the response was, "Here's it all. Here is all of it." And then it lingered outside the house to those who hated him and those who did not know him. And so the fragrance of what we choose to do with our life, it lingers. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, I can't recall where it is. It talks about our life is but a vapor, right? Our life is short, but while we are here, in the time span in which we are here, what we do, it lingers for a time. And then we will pass on into eternity where we'll be with Jesus forever. But for now, here in this life, for a time, the fragrance of what we do, it lingers. For those who are in the house, those who know Jesus, some of them have been in church. There are people that have been in church and in the presence of Jesus for a very long time. But they either truly don't know him or they don't recognize the fullness of who he is. So the fragrance lingers and gets their attention. And for those outside the house, like I said, those that hate him or don't know him, it would have caught their attention too. Both will look at us, those who know, who are in the house, in church, who have been around Jesus, and those who don't know him at all. Both those groups of people throughout our whole life, they will look at what we have poured out. They will look at what we have poured out, our most valuable possession upon. Do you see where I'm going with this? Who you give of your life to, what you give of your life to, it's a fragrance that lingers. And it can be a stench of selfish ambition, or it can be something costly and pungent and strong that makes people stop and look and go, "Why are you giving that to him? Why are you giving of that? Why are you giving your best to the kingdom?" And that could be an open door for somebody to draw near to Jesus themselves. If you don't get anything else out of what I share tonight, know that the fragrance of our life and what we choose to give to, who and what we choose to pour out to, it's a lingering fragrance. So tonight I want to talk about, next week we'll talk about stewardship, but tonight I want to talk about gifts. And so if you'll turn with me to Matthew 25, this is probably familiar to many of you, the parable of the talents. And Jesus is talking about a man that goes away and he entrusts something to his servants. I'm in the English Standard Version now. He's talking about, this is a parable, it's a parallel for the kingdom of heaven. For it will be, verse 14, Matthew 25, 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. I want to pause here and say that we are not offered or justified any excuse. We're not given any excuse in not doing something with what God handed us. There's no excuse. He handed us something. We are to do something with it. We're not to, who knows what the excuses were that were going through that man's head that had the 1 talent. Well, and most likely comparison was probably something part of it. Looking at, well, he got 5 and he got 2. I only got 1. Guess I'll bury it. They say the cemetery is one of the most wealthy places in the world because it's full of dreams never fulfilled. It's full of projects never completed, visions never realized. It's full of books that were never published, bless someone's life. It's full of songs never written, full of stories never told. I don't want to be that person, do you? I want to do something with what God's placed in my hand. Verse 18, he who had received the 1 went, dug in the ground, hid his master's money. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had the 5 came forward. Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And as the story goes on, you know, verse 21, his master said to him, well done. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Excuse me, I'm kind of skipping around now. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22, he who also had the 2 talents came forward saying, master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who also had received the 1 talent came forward. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. Underline that. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. He thought it would be sufficient to just hand it back. That's not kingdom culture. The Lord has not handed gifts and talents to us for us to go, let's play catch back forth. He didn't call us to do that. He called us, he gave it and said, now go do something with it. I've entrusted this to you. It speaks of, I'm giving something that's valuable to me and I'm trusting you while I'm away. And this is an example to us to not be, if I could use the word complacent, to not be idle. And you notice he said, I was afraid. Nothing good ever comes from us making decisions from a place of fear. Nothing. And it can, and I'm preaching to myself when I say that fear can just scream at us. And it can be disguised sometimes as reason, but it's not. We should always, that's why teachers like Nancy Dufresne, you know, Tammy, we listen to her, right? And she straightens us out, you know. She tells us you need to operate from a place of peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We need to operate from peace. That's where wisdom comes. That's where Jesus-like decision-making comes from. Fear is the just, we have to keep that in our minds. And I know you've heard this before. We have to remind ourselves of that time and time again. Fear is not the place. It's not the seat that we operate from. It is not the place decision-making should be from. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. I want to, let's keep reading on. Verse 29, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I don't fully understand that revelation yet. I need to dive into this more. There's a lot of deep teaching here. But what I want to point out is that the master was angry at the one who did nothing. And life is can be challenging, and we think, I don't have time to consider what you've given me to try to put one more thing on the to-do list. I am not teaching this message to intimidate or overwhelm anyone or to condemn you or make you feel like you're not doing enough. I simply am teaching this message to bring awareness to what the heart of Jesus is. And like I said in the story of Mary, when the natural response of Mary when she saw and understood who Jesus was, when she truly looked into his face and then saw what Jesus did for Lazarus and who he was, her Savior, beautiful Savior, the natural response was, I give him all. I give him my best. And that is my point. Let's give him best. I'm not saying you haven't done enough, but let's grow in this, right? Let's look at this again and look at this closely. It's not good to compare your gifts and talents with others. This is a dream killer. This is a self, I'm sorry, I came in here a hot mess. My jeans are falling down. I don't know why my pants are falling. I'm pulling my pants. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know why these pants are falling. This will kill dreams more than anything else for you to compare yourself with others. The devil is always trying to get our eyes off of what we literally have right in front of us and go, look what they have, look what they have, look what they have, look what they have. Always, always watch for that in every season. When I was single, it was, look at their career. They're doing better than you. They're making more than you. You're not doing very well. Work harder, try harder, you know? So then I felt anxious about that. The Lord had to help me through that. And then it was, everyone's getting married. Everyone's getting married. They have a spouse. They have a spouse. They have a spouse. And then it was, everyone has kids. Why don't you have kids? Yeah, you know, pay attention to that. The devil's always trying to get you to look at what somebody else has. And this message is to get you to stop and say, look at what I have. And when you are more aware of that and you ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Open my eyes to see everything that I have at my disposal. Man, you'll see just how much you have. And then you can go, I know how I can use this. I know how I can use this. You know, I love, does anyone like watching the Olympics? Yes. Okay. Winter, summer. Da, 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 da. That theme song would come on the TV. I'd be like, duh, you know, all the medals and the slow motion TV. No one. Okay. You know, we get all excited. My mom and I would get excited about the figure skating. So there's that. So, you know, it's just exciting to watch, you know, this international stage and the best of the best of the best show up. And they make what is extremely complicated look really easy. I like what the comedian Ryan Hamilton, he says. He's like, we really need a control group. Like, Michael Phelps and all his competitors in the pool, and then one Bob from Ohio to get in the pool so you can see the comparison and see, anyway. But it's excellence in every category on display, right? The discipline, the time, the passion, the diet, the training, the physical therapy, everything that it has to be poured into those people so they can come and compete for a medal, to get on that stage and win a medal, and it's for a moment of excellence that so much time and practice, blood, sweat, and tears goes into this one moment, right? But, you know, if we were to say, if we were to take, y'all know Simone Biles that was in gymnastics, 7-time gold medalist in gymnastics, and we made her swap places with Michael Phelps, the 23-time gold medalist, Olympic gold medalist of swimming, do you think excellence would be on display anymore? She's like this short. He's like way up here, way taller than me. If they swapped, excellence wouldn't be on display anymore, would it? Why? He's excellent in one thing. She's excellent in another. They excel. You know, like I said, there was discipline. There was time. There was investment, right? In order for them to get to that moment of winning that victory, right? But Simone Biles is small and compact. And Michael Phelps is like built like a dolphin with unusually long arms. Like he was built for the pool, right? Simone was built for gymnastics. She set world records. They're naming, you know, flips after her. They're both epic in their own respect. What's the word I'm looking for? Right? That is why comparison is just, it kills. It kills dreams. It kills ambition and purpose. It kills purpose in our minds for us to go, well, I don't do this as well as so-and-so. I don't seem to be good at this like so-and-so. Why is that? Well, it's because you don't know your gift yet. You haven't realized what you're good at and what you bring to the table, what you bring to the kingdom. Amen? And just as a side note, I really wanted to emphasize this. Each of you are more than your gift. You're not just, I am just but a gift to bring to the kingdom. No, the Creator had you in mind. He loves you. I don't want anyone to feel reduced down to just a talent that is a blessing to others. Each of you is a beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made son or daughter that's deeply loved by Jesus. I'm only teaching on recognizing your gift and stewarding your vision for your future because this is part of kingdom culture. We're learning to honor what's in us. And we're learning how does this come out? And in what ways can I use this? And I want to be respectful of your time, but I just want to talk about a couple of examples. How long do I have? We didn't talk about that. Okay, you just tell me. Just go like this. Oh, you're done. Stop. Okay. I have a couple examples. I want to give you some examples of people in the Bible that recognize what was in their hand. A couple of them you're probably familiar with. Esther. Esther, probably going to talk more about her next week, but you know, she recognized the position of authority that she was in. She became aware of, oh, I'm in a position to help my people, right? Because of where she was placed. She recognized that. Moses had a staff with which God did mighty wonders. Daniel, in Daniel 5 and 6, it was said of him that he had an excellent spirit. And who I want to emphasize tonight is Moses and those who helped with the work of the Lord's house, the tabernacle. And then I want to talk about David the most, really. But another example is Samson. You know, God gave him strength. And there's many others I'm sure that we could think of, but those are just a few examples of people that recognize, hey, the Lord's given me this. And the Lord anointed them with those gifts, right? But they also recognized them and they also used them. You know, something I've wondered about is, remember how in Exodus and the Lord appears to Moses in the burning bush and he starts talking to him about, like, I'm going to use you to go speak to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Do it. Right? And he was like, I'm slow of speech. Or how's the wording? I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. Right? I wonder if he had said, God, touch my lips, touch my tongue. You're telling me that I'm called to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I wonder if we'd be reading a different narrative if he'd said, okay, you've called me to this. Now touch my lips. We might be reading, right? We might be reading a different version of the story. But Lord, the Lord was gracious. He said, my speech is not good. And so he said, okay, here's Aaron. He will speak for you. And so we could just camp out right there. There's so much goodness from God in that. The Lord was gracious and recognized that Moses didn't have faith, you know, and was feeling unqualified. But God's like, it's you. Ha ha ha. Don't care. It's you. You're called. Right. And the Lord was gracious. He gave him Aaron, the helper. Right. And the New Testament. Moses is a type and shadow of Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I'll send the helper, right? So Aaron was Moses' helper. You have a helper for the call. You have a helper in recognizing your gifts and walking out this call, this journey with Jesus. You have a helper with you. So Aaron was his helper, right? So he has Aaron, but the Lord still placed a gift in his hand. He used the staff to do mighty works and wonders before Pharaoh and all the people. It is literally the piece that he used to, you know, split the Red Sea. Can you imagine how awesome that would have been? Did anyone see the Prince of Egypt? There you go. Connie, that scene with the whale. Don't you love that? And they, in the movie Prince of Egypt, shows the people walking through the split Red Sea, and lightning strikes, and for a moment you can see the silhouette of a whale. What awesome wallpaper as they walked on dry land, right? To be saved on the other side, their deliverance. So God still placed a gift in his hand. And Moses was like, okay, I can use this. You show me how to use this. You gave me something. I'm going to use it. David, you know, we all know, I mean, he could win Wheel of Fortune with us, right? David and then empty letters, David and Goliath. Thank you, Alan. I mean, that's who we think of, right? So we think of, you know, stones, the sling, but he had an instrument he'd been practicing with. And I want to read some scripture regarding that. He was qualified because God chose him, but David had also been developing his gifts and practicing with what was in his hand when he thought no one noticed. But eventually someone noticed, and this is the funny part, he's not even named. It doesn't even say the name of the guy that took notice, hear me, that took notice of what David was doing. David had no idea that a servant of Saul, King Saul, had been watching him out in the field with his sheep, playing that instrument, probably making worship to the Lord. That was the start of songs, hymns, spiritual songs that we see bleeding into the book of Psalms that we might not have had today had not this unnamed servant of King Saul taken notice of what he was doing while no one was watching. So important what you do when no one's watching. You choose how you use your time when no one is watching. So let's turn there real quick. It's in 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, verses 16 through 23. And again, most of what I'm reading from today is going to be English Standard Version. And this, you know, it just really hurts my heart every time I read this. I hate reading that because of Saul's disobedience that the Lord departed from him. That just always makes my heart sad. I never want to know what that feeling is like, to feel like the, can you imagine? No wonder he was tormented. Okay, so 1 Samuel chapter 16, I want to start in verse 14, and then I'm going to go back and read verse 18 in the Amplified Classic. But let's start in ESV, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord, someone's reading a competing translation, okay. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, so sad, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. So terribly. I mean, there are so many people, and they are tormented. They are waiting on the other side of our obedience to bring the peace that we carry to them, so they don't have to be tormented anymore, right? We carry something that will end torment for others. A harmful spirit from the Lord tormented Saul. And Saul's servants said to him, behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me a man who can play well. Take note of the words skillful. Well, I'm still growing in this, by the way. So in case you're like, oh, Rachel, I'm still growing. We all are growing and becoming more skillful, right? And we never are perfect. Jesus is the only perfect one. But believe me, me and all of us, we are all on this journey of learning to do things well. But Saul said to his servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, see, young man, don't know his name, no clue. No clue who this is, responsible for bringing David into so much of our Bible. One of the young men answered, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. Now, I want to read that in the Amplified Classic, verse 18. Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a brave and competent man, a warrior, discerning, prudent, eloquent in speech, and a handsome man. And the Lord is with him. Your looks, you working on your speaking, you know, whether you take, I saw on Instagram a random ad for, you can take classes in your body. I haven't taken them, but I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to take that. It's kind of cool. You can take classes on being a better public speaker, a better preacher, you know, learning what body language is effective and obnoxious. Like you can take classes in most anything these days. There are people that complained and got drunk and were nasty and awful during COVID. And then there were people that were very productive with the downtime, you know, and that's just, I know that's a strange example, but like there are, and I don't know, I pray that the Lord keeps us, that we don't have to go through something crazy like that again. I know that was a terrible time for so many people. I would not wish that upon anyone again, but my point being, there are windows of time, there are pockets of time in which the Lord is going, oh, you could be working on this. You could be, and this is an insidious example, but it's important. Adolf Hitler used to practice his facial expressions in the mirror. Did you know that? He was practicing his effectiveness in speeches. Kingdom culture, there is an enemy, a merciless enemy that is working through people like Adolf Hitler. And they're up to no good. But we're up to good, aren't we? Let's be skillful in the things God's handed us too. You see, are you hanging with me or am I all over the place? Okay. Yay! My pants are still falling. Okay. but I love that. So he was skillful on his instrument. I think that's interesting. That is actually the gift. Proverbs 18:16 talks about your gift will bring you before the king, right? I think that's interesting that that's actually the gift that brought him into the king's presence. That was the introduction to King Saul. Not him showing up on the back. That's what so many people don't. I'm not saying that you don't know this, but a lot of people think the first encounter was him showing up on the battlefield to challenge Goliath. It was not. It was him, what he was doing on his instrument when no one was looking. That's what brought him. The time he'd invested practicing his instrument, that's a gift. He probably had a natural leaning towards it, right? Picked it up. So that's a gift. Courage from the Lord. Talks about he's brave and competent. Courage from the Lord, that's a gift. Some of us have it more than others. Again, something we're all learning to walk in, but that's a gift. He was recognized him as a warrior, so that was part of it. Eloquent in speech, that's a gift. Handsome, your looks are a gift. These are all examples of gifts, and there's so many more. Now I want to go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, where he's up against Goliath. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him." I went after him. He could have chosen not to. He could have just been like, "Oh, that's unfortunate. I don't want to fight that." Wasn't his sheep, it was his father's. He honored his father. Again, this is like the parable of the talents. He was entrusted with his father's flock. Probably not the job he wanted. Probably not. But he was entrusted with his flock. So he said, "I will seize this opportunity to protect what I have been entrusted with." And he went after him. "I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them." And then verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And, you know how the story goes after that. But what I want to focus on is he recognized an opportunity to protect what his father had entrusted to him. And then when he recognized another opportunity to fight, I don't know if it was the Lord pulling on his spirit, like, now this is your golden moment of promotion. I don't know. But what I do know is he was like, hey, God delivered me from this. This shall be no different. Right? So that's faith in the Lord. But he also had confidence in what he had been practicing. He'd probably been practicing quite a bit with that sling and that stone. But I love that really when we backtrack, the skillful practice. The gift was the instrument. Yeah. And then can you pop up Proverbs 18:16, please? It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. And we as people of God, we don't seek that to be conceited so we can be like, oh, look at me and all my, whatever. But we are called to have influence, and we can't do it if we're neglecting to develop what God's given us. And I think there are some seasons of life where, we're hidden or we're waiting or where it doesn't seem like, times of resting. When Colton and I were at the Believers Convention last week, Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel, was talking about, I'm on sabbatical. He's taking a rest. I get that. There's seasons where your life feels like you're doing a lot, and then there's seasons where you're kind of pulling back and doing a little. I'm not talking about I go full bore and I'm burning the candles at both ends all the time. This is why we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. He will show us, now you work on this. And if we're sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he will begin to show us, like, and now this was prep, what you've been doing and what I've had you working on. Now this is the open door for promotion right here, and you're about to walk through it. And I don't know if David knew that that was about to promote him under the king for him to kill Goliath. But what he did know was, I know how to fight, and I've been practicing. I've been entrusted with this, and now I can be entrusted with that. And this is small potatoes compared to, he knew he could handle it. I just for the sake of time, I'll probably talk about Samson more next week. But one thing that I want to bring up is Samson in, let's go ahead, and this'll be where I end tonight. Let's go ahead and turn to Judges 15, excuse me. And this is where I'll end. I want to get going into next week talking about stewardship, which is basically just I'm managing well what's been entrusted to me, essentially. Oh, actually, here's my Merriam-Webster definition. It's the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And then excellence, since we were talking about giving the Lord our best, excellence means very good of its kind. First class, superior, fantastic, awesome, superb, stellar. I want to give my best to the Lord. Stellar. I want to be like, that was stellar. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's go to Judges. If this isn't your flavor, just wait 2 weeks. It will be somebody else speaking, not me. You have me for one more week. So Judges 15. So I want to skip down into the chapter to verse 14. But, at the beginning of the chapter, he's wreaking all kinds of havoc. He's tied foxes' tails together and sent them into fields. I just love how it was just like completely unhinged terror all the time on the Philistines. I just love that. He just made them so miserable. And I'm sure the Lord was like, yes, do it. But I want to go to verse 14, and I want to talk about this one example. This was just an incredulous show and display of the Spirit of the Lord upon him and the strength that he carried at its full might, right? says, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit, take note of this, then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that caught fire. His bonds melted off his hands, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put out his hand and took it. Again, he chose. He chose. He knew what the Lord had given him, but it's us working with the Lord. It's a partnership in everything in our life. From the moment we take our first breath to the moment we give our last, right? It's a partnership. We want the Spirit of the Lord upon us, and then we want to seize the opportunities that he presents us with. And I love, again, I don't know why I feel to keep using Bill Johnson as an example. He just said, Tammy and Natalie were there. He just said so many profound things. One thing that he said is, you know, as Christians, the Holy Spirit is inside of every believer, but the Holy Spirit is not resting upon every believer. I don't know about you, but I want the Spirit of the Lord resting upon me so I can be used for the kingdom. I want to be a vessel that the Lord can use to help those who are being tormented by the devil so that they can go, I think I feel some peace again. I want to be used that way, don't you? Verse 15, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put out his hand, took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. Can you imagine how long that took? I want you to picture a different shepherd, not David, some boy on a nearby hill, and he's up there tending his father's sheep and going, what's going on down there? Can you imagine him? I think I'd forget the sheep and be going, what is happening? And then just watching and going, when is he going to run out of steam? He hasn't. 1 to 15, 1 to 16, 1 to 16. Like watching that go back and forth, can you imagine? I bet that was incredible to watch. And I bet that took such a long time. So he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, and then, I mean, this is pretty epic too. Then he stands up with his jawbone and this pile of dead men with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps of... This is funny. Heaps upon heaps with the jawbone of a donkey. I have struck down 1,000 men. I mean, that's epic. As soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand and named the place Ramoth Lehi, which means hill of the jawbone. This is the part I want to close with. He was very thirsty. And he called upon the Lord and said, you have granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant, and shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? And God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came from it. And when he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, the name of it was called En Hakkor, and it is at Lehi to this day. And that means the spring of him who called. I don't care if you're in the spring, the summer, the fall, or the winter of your life. Life is hard. We get tired. We get weary. I read a book by John Gray about dealing with this. He was like, we have to address weariness, not let it sit. That's when it's just not good for us to stay in a weary place. And plus, you're miserable, and God doesn't want you to stay weary. But I wanted to close with that because I feel like for some of us to think of, I got to get up and do one more thing for the Lord. You're just tired. And I want you to know today, I feel like the Lord told me to tell you, he will revive you. You may have done incredible things for the Lord in the past, but he wants to refresh you and revive you, not leave you tired and burned out. Candle burned at both ends, and he wants you to feel refreshed so you can do more awesome things and kill more Philistines with a jawbone, metaphorically speaking, right? But he wants us to, okay, I I have slain the enemy once, and I will go out and I will torture them again. Amen? So I want to close today with that and just remind you that the fragrance of what you choose to do with your life, it lingers. I want you to know you're chosen and you're gifted, and the Lord wants to revive and refresh you to do more with your gifts. So if you would like me to pray with you, I know you probably all want to go home. I know it's a work day, but if you would like to stay and you'd like me to pray with you, if you just feel like you're just kind of worn down, or if you want the Lord to reveal what your gifting is, or if you feel like the devil's just been, maybe your whole life, no one's ever really told you that you have anything good to bring to the table, that you don't feel valuable. That's a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. You're valuable, you're loved, and all of us have something beautiful to bring to the Lord that blesses him and blesses others. So if you'd like me to pray with you for that, I'm going to stick around, but that's all I got.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand together. And if you've never discovered what your gifting is in the Lord, tonight would be a good night to receive prayer. And Rachel's anointed to pray for you. And the Holy Spirit might speak to your heart and awaken something new in you that you've never realized is your gift to exercise in the kingdom. Amen. All of us have something. We've all been given something. So stick around and be prayed for if you'd like that. I'm sure she'll be glad to pray for you for that. And also, if you need refreshing in your calling, sometimes we do get to a weary place where we think, oh, I just want to throw in the towel, or I don't know if I want to serve in the kingdom anymore. It's costly or whatever. Let me tell you something. Paul said, everything in this life is nothing to be compared to that which was on the other side for us. It's nothing. It's nothing. And we need to remember that. That's an encouraging word for us all. To remember that the things of this life that we call suffering are nothing to be compared with the reward that we'll receive on the other side. Amen. So if you need prayer of any kind, come on up and be refreshed. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the encouragement to take hold of that which you've put in our hand as a talent to serve you with and to bless people with. We thank you, Father, for the privilege it is to serve in your kingdom, to serve with the gifts you've given us, to be a blessing to others. It's such a delight to co-labor with you in this way. And Holy Spirit, I thank you tonight as we go, even as we sleep tonight, that you give us dreams, visions, and understanding of that which you've put in our hand to do for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Also, remember, in 2 weeks, Rachel will be teaching again next week, and we have Philip Baker coming, and along with Laura. They'll be coming in 2 weeks for the 19th and 26th of August. I want to have you put that on your calendar. We're going to do a marriage intensive on those weeks. It's going to be really good. It's called The Path. So he'll be teaching from the Word of God on God's plan for marriage, God's plan for the family. You'll want to be here for that August 19th and 26th. Amen. God bless you.